People can do their thing. We can bring chairs in from the other room.
No, no, no.
This looks like a good one, thank you.
Zach, you can't eat and talk at the same time. That's really cool.
Can't say this. Eat this all the time.
You'd be surprised.
I get the podcast review.
Sticks.
Did you say you're gonna go put on some leather?
I said you gotta take care of the leather first. So it doesn't drain
the whole goddamn podcast.
Should get that fixed. It's been what, about 5 years?
Sit down. Got chairs. Fine. We can have her sit around and talk about how she didn't get how to
stand. I'm not talking.
Okay.
I'll talk.
Oh, thank you.
Welcome to the Futile Podcast. Tonight we got sort of a veritable who's who, rogues gallery, if you will, of ne'er-do-wells and whatnots to talk about Copland, which is the 1995, 96, 97, or 98
Did you look
movie.
It up?
No, I didn't. I forgot.
Do you have internet here?
No.
We don't get internet.
It's late 90s. It's colored by the fact that there's mentioning of pay-per-view as if that was some kind of great feature. I mean, now we've got
pay-per-view
video.
Pay-per-view had been around a lot.
Yeah, but now we've got video on demand, and we got Netflix streaming, and more satellite channels and everything. I mean, the pay-per-view was like the big deal. It seems kind of funny. But what do we got for plot? We got that Michael Rapaport, Superboy, he screws up, man. He just goes a little too far one night when he's coming home and some guy's messing with him.
I think in all honesty, that would have been legit.
Yeah, I do too.
You can't aim something at a cop.
No, the only thing that he did kind of screw up on is, well, no. He thought they'd taken a shot at him, but he had been drinking, which isn't necessarily illegal. Generally, police officers can carry after they've been drinking, as opposed to, like, say, people with a concealed weapons permit. But anyway, it's a movie. There's no point in getting that into it. It would have been a huge mess regardless. But the problem was it gave Internal Affairs leverage over this cop who...
Over Ray. Played by Harvey Keitel, not Ray Liotta.
Right. Yeah, Ray should have played Ray.
Ray was the character's name, excuse me.
Would have been less
confusing. You know, there were so many people in this movie, they should have just called them by their real name.
They should have, yeah. Their whole real name. It would have been like, Officer Harvey Keitel has been causing all these problems. Yeah.
So Superboy takes a dive, it seems.
But his body doesn't hit the water.
Yeah, he takes the plunge.
goes off the deep end. And then all the other cops... are like crooked and they cover it up.
Well, they protect their own. There's nothing new about that.
So you're saying it's not crooked?
They protect everybody but Superboy.
You know? Judge not lest ye be judged. That's what I'm saying.
And they all live in this town called Copland.
Otherwise known as Garrison, New Jersey.
Sure. Mm-hmm. If you want to call that its real name.
To ruin it for everybody, Mark.
And the sheriff of this town is a wannabe. Played by Sylvester Stallone, who's deaf in one ear, and because of that, he can't be a cop.
And he's schlubby, he's overweight.
A little bit.
That's probably what everyone will remember about this movie, is that was what got the most press when it came out. It's like, oh, Stallone is back, and you know, really showing off his dramatic chops, and he, you know, gained weight and all that stuff, and he's not playing an action hero, he's just playing a...
It would have been a hard part to play, because he plays a total asshole.
Stallone?
Yeah.
In this film?
Absolutely.
Well, he's kind of a loser. I wouldn't say he's a total asshole.
He's a loser asshole.
Well, Harvey Keitel is an asshole.
It depends on your definition of the word.
Well, usually an asshole is someone that's like actively being like
Kristen,
a jerk to
Kristen
people.
Kristen just pointed her thumb at Seth.
No, she was pointing at Ian.
I think it was you.
No, I wasn't pointing at anybody.
You can't really point with a thumb. You can
she
just
did.
Kinda
I was just
fawn.
She thumbed
up. You can go up or down.
I pointed at Ian.
This is beside the point. Irregardless.
Really?
Irregardless.
Which isn't really a word.
Yeah, earlier you said regardless, and I was waiting for you to say irregardless, and you didn't. And then Ian went ahead and pulled it out.
I did, yeah. I thought I'd do that.
I like that.
It's eerie. Good.
It is eerie. Yeah. It's irregardless.
Why don't you just stay away from the puns there, little brother?
Whoa.
Leave it to the big boys.
You just got big time. On national radio. On national podcast.
Even more famous now. By local film historian, or what was it?
Local
term?
Film expert is what I call
local
it.
Local film
on
expert.
The Time Standard podcast,
yes.
Yeah.
Indeed. But really what's going on in Copland is... It'll be funny to me when I listen to it in years.
We can. It's for our reaction.
Yes, yes, yes. If everyone at home knows, I just whipped it out on there's it hitting the table. It's got
your
little
ego.
Got a little mask. No. Okay, so back to Copland. What it really is, it's a simple crime story. It's about this insular group of police officers that have gotten away with kind of playing by their own rules, and they believe that they are above the law.
They're above the law.
They believe that because they go into the city and do right by whatever and suffer that they're deserved some kind of, that they're entitled to greater privileges than the average citizen above and beyond just your general things like a free cup of coffee.
And Sheriff Copland generally looks the other way when things go down, which isn't much.
It's entirely based on just a straightforward inferiority complex. You know, he was deaf; he could never be one of them. So.
They call him boy, and they consistently
mention.
What's funny
man.
Is that it's not just them who insinuates that he's not as much of a man, but you know that De Niro does that.
Oh
to
yeah,
him also.
De Niro's also a real cop, as far
right,
as
and
he's
they
concerned.
And so both sides are really kind of like playing him, like to see which way he goes.
And, otherwise known as the cupcake.
Yeah, yeah. Right. And I think that De Niro's character really isn't likable in this because he really is just exactly the same with them except for on the other side. He's just trying to get his job done.
Yep.
And he's trying to use this guy.
He's fantastic.
Who'd want to get a job done? That's just,
right, and it's stupid.
He's fantastically schlubby and everything.
And then he realized at the very end, I was kind of expecting like when they're like, you know, he comes dragging in Superboy and he's all covered in blood and stuff, and De Niro should have been like, "What'd you do? You killed people?" He's like, "Oh, I didn't ask for that. I kind of have to wash my hands of this whole thing here."
Yeah, one thing I wanted to point out, though, it's still so many levels above Righteous Kill.
Oh, absolutely.
Movie is actually a good movie.
It's a good
movie. We talked about this last week at a poker game, and Seth was mentioning it in jest as if it were a joke movie, like something like Righteous Kill.
It's got a stupid name.
Well,
it
Righteous
does.
Kill had one moment. There was just, and Ian probably knows the moment I'm speaking of.
Well, the one where Brian Dennehy tries to dissuade
Brian
the woman that just got
Dennehy
raped.
Brian Dennehy was awful, too.
Oh, that's
CG.
My words.
This might go on for a couple hours.
The motion, the action, right. The undulation.
Fine. Yeah, sure.
Are you talking about the part?
That was almost...
I thought the good part was where the skateboarding pimp slaps his hoe and then gets shot 5 seconds later as he ollies away. Played by Rob Dyrdek, of course.
Yes, of course. If only
you got my money, slap. Time's head gets blown off.
Fly me to the moon.
Yeah.
But no, this is the Copland is actually a good movie. It's an interesting story where you've got that guy getting played sort of by both sides.
Who's in it? You got Keitel, you got Patrick, Robert Patrick, you got
John Spencer.
Mm-hmm.
And
Womack.
Yeah,
right.
Played Womack.
Edie Falco.
Are you Sean Connery?
The guy that played Paulie Walnuts.
Yeah.
He was in the photos. You never actually see him.
That's true.
One of the mobsters.
There was a bunch of the Sopranos guys, like
Yoda,
you said.
Rappaport.
Right. Oh, the guy that played Frankie.
Janine Garofalo.
Stallone,
Annabella Shiora. Yeah,
Annabella Shiora.
Right.
As the bitch.
Mm-hmm. Peter Berg.
Director of
Frank Vincent.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's right. So there was a lot of people put together.
You mentioned somebody from The Wire, too. There's a lot of HBO connection going on.
Yeah, Rawls.
And most of these people probably took really low pay to be in this movie because I think the budget was really low on it. I think they spent it mostly on the blood from the squibs in the
possibly,
end.
Possibly, yeah.
Because when people get shot, like several gallons poured out.
Kathy Moriarty.
If you get shot with a shotgun, 12-gauge shotgun slug in the chest, that's like getting hit by a fucking cannonball.
Yeah, but I mean, you're just kind of like
you'd like freaking explode. It'd be like, open season.
Meat and guts.
Yeah,
like the movie
good.
Open Season?
Was that a movie?
Yeah. It's got Ashton Kutcher and...
That's all you need
really?
To say. We're good
and,
now.
What's his name?
I guess I missed that one.
Martin Lawrence.
Martin Lawrence. I
it's CGI. They're the voices.
Oh my god.
Maybe that's why you didn't see it.
Yeah, maybe. Because it sounds like a pretty intelligent move there. But yeah, I can't imagine that it needed too big of a budget. I mean, it's a pretty straightforward crime story that takes place in
just
semi-rural
every actor
area,
who's ever
yeah.
lived to be in the movie.
Exactly. And James Mangold is the guy that wrote and directed it.
Yeah.
What else has he really ever done, though?
He did Gone with the Wind, Godfather. I don't know what anything he's
yeah,
directed.
Yeah, it just seems like such a weird thing to come out of sort of a nobody. I mean,
I don't think he's a nobody. I think he's done.
No, I recognize the name. It just doesn't. It just seems like he hasn't done anything big.
It was a passion project for Stallone. Yeah. I guess he Stallone was really interested in the project and wanted to get off the ground, and nobody was going to buy it, and so he put his heft behind it, his considerable heft.
Yes, and he made his heft that much more considerable. Yeah.
He upped his heft so he could back the movie.
Well, I'm inclined to think that just doing Copland, it earned him like the credit that he needed to, 10 years or plus later, go on. Because
he was trying to get the Specialist 2 off the ground.
To do Rambo and Rambo, do Rocky. Yeah, I mean, Rambo. You know, it was kind of like it got him taken seriously to a degree. And then what did he do after that? He did things. He did the remake of what's the one that Michael Caine was in, the original of?
Oh yeah, Get Carter,
and stuff like that. So,
but the one was the tunnel.
Oh, yeah, Daylight.
Daylight, yeah. Was that before or after Copland? I think that was before.
It was before.
It's got to be before.
I think it was
before. Because
it's not like a prequel. Because
Copland was 1998.
Of like Free Jack. Yeah.
And so...
No.
Wasn't there some racing involved?
No.
Oh, he was in that racing one, too.
He was in that one. Okay. He wrote that one.
Zach.
Call Austin. Austin would know. Yeah. I am going to call Austin in a minute to find out when Copland...
What about Austin's phone number?
I'll just call the phone, the Yellow Pages. Austin, please.
you mean the city or the person? I don't know. I just there's a couple. Copland to me is the kind of movie where like there are a couple scenes I just remember really liking, you know. And one is the one at the end where he's deaf. And
it's the slow build movie.
Yeah,
where at the end the person who has the only person who holds on to any integrity the whole movie long does something about it.
Yeah,
it's like Gone Baby Gone or Red Belt or something like that, where this guy gets crapped on all movie. Then at the end he's like,
fuck this.
I don't want you crapping on me anymore. And he stands up.
It's kind of like a Peckinpah movie, except it's not as violent.
And the great turning point is the Copland Fair.
Yeah.
I just love that.
Yeah, and he looked stunned when he shot that paper target from 3 feet away, too. Like, not only did Mustache
maybe,
Patrick...
You know, well, it's kind of a play. They should have done the freaking... It wouldn't have been as symbolic, because you have the click, clitter, the bang, bang, bang. But those freaking baby machine guns. That is such a crock.
The BB machine guns. What a stupid idea for a toy.
You just hold the thing
in BBs above it and just dump it in while you fire it.
And you got the star.
Sounds like you got a fucking rain stick before you fire it off, huh?
What?
Jesus. A rain stick? Because you're pouring...
rain stick. Right, the rain stick.
Uh-huh.
Native American humor. Mm-hmm. For your Native American listener out there somewhere.
Indeed. So, yeah, I mean,
but that is a good turning point, right? I like that as a turning point, because you not only see surprise in the faces of the two cops that are standing there, but you see it in his face, like
that's another dude, Beansy guy. I just can't remember his name, but he was in Goodfellas. Mm-hmm. The mm-hmm.
Well, how would you like to finish the Copland, Ian?
I don't know. We could just
tell
just
us how
give our little like quick take on it, and then give it a grade.
I'm just gonna say, see it if you haven't seen it. See it.
I think Sylvester Stallone needs all the money he can get, so I say, don't just see it. Buy it.
I bought it.
Get it gold plated, then buy another one just so you can watch that.
Write an email and probably buy Mark's copy of it. He wants it anymore.
Yeah.
Oh,
write an email to ian.feudalstrope.podcast.com.
No, buy your own.
Buy your own.
And this is mine. Ian will take Mark's copy and send it to you.
No.
The pirate.
He'll deliver it to your doorstep.
It's under lock and key right now.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
You treasure your Copland.
You were treasuring it the whole movie. You were cradling it and breastfeeding the case for it, like as if it had precious information on it.
If you have the stuff...
Oh, like Cloak and Dagger? Maybe if we get, like, went through all the credits, because no one ever does, we'll unlock the secret to...
To Cloak and Dagger?
No, you remember that movie?
With Dabney Coleman.
Is there a hidden ending at that movie?
No, there's the video game cartridge. And if you play it to a certain level, it unlocks all the...
I haven't seen it in a long
top
time.
Secret shit. Right. And
I think we should do Cloak and Dagger pretty soon,
That movie always depressed me as a kid.
Yeah, it did me too for some reason.
It was a sad... It was freaky. It was kind of scary.
Weird movie, totally.
These kids are young and they're having to deal with all these fucking killers and shit.
Yeah, it was a strange movie.
And they were gonna blow up the little girl, and I mean, they were psycho. And then you had the old couple with the missing fingers that were.
That's what's missing from a lot of kids' movies these days, is the threat of violence to children.
From the old grandparency.
Yeah.
Spies.
Well, you know the Pixar movies. They deal with death. What's his name? Cormac McCarthy, the author.
Mm-hmm.
He says that nothing is real. No literature or no narrative art should be considered art if it doesn't deal with death. He said everything should deal with death. Because oh, that's the only but human...
Watership down.
You mean like in a serious way or what?
No,
like,
something should... Anything, I guess in a serious way. But yeah, he said everything... If something doesn't deal with death, then it's not real art, is what he said. But like the DreamWorks cartoons, they're not, you know, they're about...
They're about animals.
Fart jokes and
stuff.
Yeah. And I think that like kids, you know, kids like Bambi and stuff like that. Bambi's about... Death and rebirth. Mm. Not about rebirth, but it's about...
Well, I mean, even like in Ratatouille, like the guy dies,
yeah,
and that's why the kid gets this sort of...
Yeah, everything, yeah,
that
they
out,
try
no.
to deal with death. And I think Copland would be a good kids movie because there's a lot of death.
Copland would teach kids, like, hey, if you're the bully...
It's going to teach you not to trust cops, for sure.
Well, it teaches you that you and your bully clique are eventually going to get the bring down by the half-deaf
how
retard
many,
kid.
How,
much around.
How many cops do you think list Copland as one of their favorite movies? Like, that reminds me and my buddies.
I don't know.
We're funneling funds.
We can do that.
I like Copland. I'm going to give it a B+.
I'm going to give it a B+ also.
I'm going to give it a solid B.
Solid B.
Seth?
I'll just give it a B.
Okay. Well, no, B+ is better
B+
than a B.
B+ is better than a B, for sure.
I can't give it a B+.
Fine, B+.
That's
yet it's under lock and key for you?
Which is kind of strange. Because
no,
I'll watch it again probably a year or two from now. I'll watch it again.
What do you think, Seth? You thought that it was a joke, but you can see that
you went into it and you got switched around halfway through.
Yeah,
you're like, oh my gosh!
I think it's going to change the way I think about life. I think in general,
right?
You
heard the Springsteen in it, and you were like, man, these guys are serious. They popped a little Springsteen in it.
Yeah.
Which
is classical music in New Jersey.
It's not like it was a, you know, it was a big stretch because it's not like Bruce Springsteen's from New Jersey or not. It's not like the movie was set in New Jersey. So it's not. It was a huge stretch that they kind of.
It had a profound effect, though.
It had really profound.
He's born to run.
I think they should have put the Baha Men on the soundtrack. A lot of Baha Men. He could have been listening to "Who Let the Dogs Out" while he's falling asleep drunk.
The Vega Boys.
Yeah.
And New Vega.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
Definitely great.
Copland.
Okay, you can check us out, Feudal Podcast. Search on iTunes. You can go to Podcast Alley and search Feudal Podcast. It might be under Feudal Title. And that's where you can subscribe as well. Go to the
website.
What
about complaints? What do you
you can
send complaints.
Email complaints about this inane, amateurish podcast to futilepodcast@gmail.com.
It's not an amateurish because you're a film expert. Yeah, actually, could you get another 32-ounce course?
Seriously?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, for Blaine.
Yeah.
Why am I buying Blaine a beer? Because
he's underage.
Let's not get that on the podcast.
I did that purposefully for you.
Thank you.
I'm hoping you'll...
The cops are going to bring me and question me. Yeah. You know how you become an internal affairs rat squad podcaster?
Oh, God.
They catch you and they bring you in.
Right.
And they say, you either serve time or you podcast
police.
Or you podcast
some
for
podcast
us.
Podcast police interested in this whole
thing. I'm going to have to read news reports and say, like, oh, wasn't it a good job that they raided that mother?
Grammar
of
Girl might use it against you, though.
Oh, yeah. My gosh. My arch nemesis.
Yes, of course.
What the hell is Grammar Girl?
Oh, you don't even want to know.
I probably don't.
Grammar Girl is one of the more popular podcasts on Earth.